I think we're going to start. We have a quorum. We do have some members online, so we're going to get started. I would like to call to order the May 4th, 2022 Technical Advisory Committee meeting. Staff, please call the roll so that we can establish a quorum.
At this time, I am only asking those TAC members attending in person to respond by saying "here" when I call your name. As a reminder, and then for new attendees, there's a button on your microphone. When this top part is red, it means you're on and the recording catches your voice. And if you can please state your name if you're here on behalf of an alternate. Jim Bell.
Here.
And Naresh, can you say your last name for me? I forgot to ask you, I'm sorry.
Naresh Majwarpu, here.
Okay, I have to practice that, thank you. Gary Dunmeyer.
Amanda Radigan here on behalf of Gary Dunmeyer.
Richard Pereira is absent. Kenny Wilson. Chang Jen Lan. Roberto Treviso. Jamie Brown. Natalie Crowley.
Mike Morrow for Natalie.
Kim Glass Castro. One more time. There you go.
Ida Miscavere on behalf of Kim Glass Castro.
Gary Sipek. Brian Davis.
Jorge Perez for Brian Davis.
Levi McCollum.
Anna Bielewska for Levi McCollum.
Aaron Hoffman.
Here.
Terrence Bailey.
Here.
Christopher Marsh. Joyce Kai. Lorraine Cargill. Kim Delaney.
Tom Lanahan for Kim Delaney.
Michael O'Dell.
Here.
Alex Hansen.
Here.
Javier Falcone.
Valerio Ricchio for Javier Falcone.
John Crane.
Here.
Modus Amal Turk. Kara Ferris.
Here.
We have a quorum in person, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Staff, are there any modifications to the agenda today?
Yes, ma'am. I have several members that have asked for virtual participation. I have Mo, Kenny, and Jim Bell that are all feeling under the weather, so they weren't able to join in person, which we appreciate. I also have Joyce Kai that should be joining us virtually. She's not on yet. She requested due to staff shortages at the school district. And then I also have Christopher Marsh that joined us remotely as well.
Okay, thank you. TAC members, are there any objections to allowing these members to participate remotely? Seeing none, these members are approved to participate remotely. Margie, please note their attendance in the minutes.
I will. And then just another note, we did have Jamie Brown join the meeting as well in person.
Next item is minutes for April 6, 2022. Are there any changes to the minutes? Anyone with a hand raised who's remote? Okay. If not, can I have a motion to adopt the minutes as presented?
I missed my motion maker.
Yeah, I got a second. Did I get a first?
Motion to approve.
Okay. So I have a motion from Mike Morrow and a second by Mr. Hoffman. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. All right, thank you. Moving on to general public comments and public comments on agenda items. Instructions on how to provide public comments are included in the agenda. Staff, have any general comments been received?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Next is comments from the chair and member comments. First, we do have a new member. Eventually, we will welcome a representative from Lake Park, Roberto Treviso. He's probably learning how hard it is to get here with the traffic in the morning. So when he comes, we'll welcome him. At this time, I would like to invite any TAC members' comments on items not already on the agenda. For members participating remotely, please utilize the raise hand feature in the Zoom platform, and then remember to unmute your microphone once you are recognized. I don't see any raised cards in house. Anyone on? Okay. Thank you. Next is the TAC liaison report. I'd like to invite Connor to provide an update.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, everybody. To start things off, the TPA would actually like to welcome a new staff member, Valentina Facus. She is the new Planner 1 on the Multimodal Development Team. Valentina previously worked at the City of Boca Raton and holds a bachelor's degree in urban and regional planning. She's actually graduating this week with her master's degree in the same field with a certificate in GIS. So welcome, Valentina. Yeah. Next, Governor DeSantis appointed Jared Perdue as the new FDOT secretary on April 7th. He has served FDOT for nearly 18 years, most recently as the District 5 secretary. May is National Bike Month. Established in 1956, the National Bike Month is a chance to encourage and showcase the many benefits of bicycling. To learn more about this, you can visit bikeleague.org/bikemonth. A public workshop for the TPA's Okeechobee Boulevard and State Road 7 Multimodal Corridor Study will be held on May 10th from 2 to 4 p.m. At the Palm Beach TPA office. For more information, you can visit palmbeachtpa.org/Okie. A public meeting to present the proposed repaving, restriping, safety, and lighting improvements on State Road A1A from Linton Boulevard to Atlantic Ave will be held virtually and in person on May 12th at 5 p.m. at the City of Delray Beach Swinton Operations Center. So if you would like to get more information on that, you could visit d4fdot.com. The TPA is hosting a virtual Vision Zero workshop for local municipalities on May 13th from 2 to 4 p.m. So if you're interested in that, you can register at palmbeachtpa.org/VZ workshop. The next TPA governing board meeting will be held on May 19th at 9 a.m. To review the meeting details, you can visit palmbeachtpa.org/board. And to watch the meeting, you can visit palmbeachtpa.org/live. Next, the U.S. Department of Transportation announced a funding opportunity for three grants. So that's MEGA, Infra, and Rural, with applications for all three due on May 23rd. For information on that, you can visit transportation.gov/grants. And last, Palm Beach County will host a summit on housing and transportation on June 2nd from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Palm Beach County Convention Center. And if you'd like to register for that or get more information, you can visit palmbeachtpa.org/PBC Economic Summit. And that's all I have for this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
No, Madam Chair, but I do want to note for the record that we did have Roberto Treviso, Will Hicks, and Chang Jen Lam join us in person.
Okay. All right. We welcome the new member from Lake Park to our technical advisory committee. Good morning. Okay. And I don't see any raised cards inside in-house, so we'll move on to the next item. Action items, motion to recommend approval of the fiscal year 2023 through 2024 United Planning Work Program. I'd like to invite Matthew Kama, TPA Chief Financial Officer, to present this item. Good morning.
Good morning. Our Unified Planning Work Program, or UPWP, for fiscal years 23 and 24, believe that will be showing up on the screen momentarily to present before you. The UPWP is our two-year operational plan and budget. So that begins July 1st of 2022 and extends to June 30th of 2024. It also constitutes our application for federal grant funding and includes what will be accomplished, who will accomplish that work, when we will complete it and our target dates, as well as how much it will cost to accomplish those efforts. And we're bringing before you today the final version, and we'll discuss a little further where we are in that that path. The UPWP has seven core tasks: engage the public, plan the system in the short range, plan the system in the long range, or LRTP, prioritize funding, implement projects, collaborate with our valuable partners, and then everything necessary to administer this agency. I want to identify a few changes in this process as we present a draft and bring it to our committees and our board. And then we work together with Federal Highway as well as the FDOT. There are some comments that come back and we work to incorporate those. At the time of publishing the agenda, we had just received the comments and we are incorporating them now that will go before the board. What I want to identify for you is the changes from the draft to the final that still need to be addressed. In the backup to the agenda, you can see the UPWP as planned in draft form. There is an increase in additional FTA funds available to the TPA in fiscals 23 and 24. So we have increased our budget to properly use those funds. That will be reflected in task two or plan the system in the short range. It's where those funds will be applied. In addition, the FDOT and FHWA requested clarification in some monies that will be carried over from federal transportation. So we will clarify that within the document with language. There were some document changes that were requested and are part of the process. When we bring the draft form in March, we don't have all of these backup documents and supporting information complete yet. So as we bring the final version, we're incorporating that, and that can be seen in this the draft that's in the backup for today. We incorporated certifications and assurances that are required for the federal grant funding. We are updating the execution dates for agreements that were not yet in place and are still being, will still be executed before this budget and UPWP is active. In addition, it was requested that we include the FDOT District 4 planning activities within the document. So that will be embedded within the document itself, as well as federal planning emphasis areas, that those will be added. And lastly, that we update our table of contents to reflect these additional documents that are included. There were some detailed clarifications that were requested in the legal services that we will be using. As an agency, we navigate many waters and require legal counsel to do that. We have legal counsel in place. We will be renewing our contract with them within the next 2 months. And those services will continue through the duration of that new UPWP cycle. So it's just a request that we clarify that, which we'll do. The comments were also to define software purchases in part of the GIS nature of our work here, and many other aspects of providing quality products, plans, and information to the public. We do require some more sophisticated software. It's requested that we identify that more clearly. So we will. We'll do that before taking it to the board in 2 weeks. The note of any purchases over $5,000 have to be identified singularly. As a federally funded agency, there are specific rules on how we can procure the items that we need. And if it exceeds $5,000, it has to be identified in this plan, or a special permission is requested at the time of needing it. So we will be incorporating that before it goes to the board as well. The last two comments are some clarification about our TIP and LRTP total costs. Those can be viewed as task three and task four within our budget. And that it was requested we include language about our efforts with the MPO, with the TPA's functional classification and boundary map, which is required for all MPOs, as noted here. An additional detail request was related to the consultant efforts that we will be using, and we'll be adding this. And I apologize, I know the language is a little smaller, the words on the slides, there's a lot of content to show here. But if you'll note in blue at the bottom, that's our final version. We have planned for that and budgeted for that, but it was not represented within the UPWP body itself. So we're making some adjustments to reflect the budget for those consultant efforts. So that's, and the word draft is on the, is missing from the top. So the top version is how it was presented as a draft, and the bottom version is what it will be as final. In a similar fashion, the top version is the draft that was in the backup to today's meeting. And you'll note the completion date says annually. It was requested that we put the month and year. So December of 2023, December of 2024. There's a few notes, a few similar tasks and elements to this that will be changed in this way. And our public engagement efforts, it was requested that we clarify how we provide public meetings and workshops. And this was kind of a language adjustment. And a lot of these details that we're incorporating are discussions that we have with FDOT and FHWA to make sure we satisfy their requirements within this document and that we provide sufficient clarity to everyone who might see it. The revenue sources have been adjusted. As I mentioned earlier, there's additional FTA funding available to the TPA within the cycle. So that's been reflected in the revenue sources. So it will now be 5.1 million in available revenue in fiscal 23 and 4.9 million in fiscal 2024. Our expenditures are broken down as grant funded and locally funded. And the adjustments for that, those FTA funds are reflected in those grant funded activities. And again, our expenditures are at 5.1 in fiscal 23 and 4.9 in fiscal 24. Here's where we are in this process. We've presented the drafts back in March and submitted those to FHWA, FTA, and FDOT. We've received comments. We're incorporating all of that. We're bringing it here to you today for a recommendation for adoption to the board. And then we'll take that to the board on May 19th. And today we're seeking a motion to recommend adoption of the fiscal 2023-24 UPWP. Thank you.
Thank you. Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Do we have any committee members? So for new members, we usually put our card up if you want to make comments. I don't see any. Do we have any online with raised hands?
No, ma'am.
Okay, I need a motion to recommend approval of the FY 2023-2024 Unified Planning Work Program, and then I can open the floor again for discussion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? Not missing anyone? Okay, hearing no further discussion, I have a motion by Michael and a second by Mr. Hoffman. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay.
Thank you.
Wow, congratulations. The next are informational items. The draft FY 2023 through 2027 Transportation Improvement Program. I'd like to invite Jason Price, TPA TIP coordinator, to present this item.
Morning, everyone. Thanks for approving our annual work program. The MPO has three primary documents, the annual work program, the TIP that I'm about to present to you, and the long-range transportation plan. So it's a good day. Today, this is going to be the first reading of the draft Transportation Improvement Program for fiscal year 23 through 27. You'll see it next month in its final form for formal adoption. So this is just an informational item, and I'll go through all of the elements of the draft transportation improvement program. So our mission is to collaboratively plan, prioritize, and fund the transportation system as our mission for the TPA. And previously in October, we saw the tentative work program, the FDOT draft tentative work program, and that was when we prioritized the types of projects that we see now in the transportation improvement program, which is the funding document to fund all of those projects. So as part of the TIP development process, we are currently at the end tail end of the TIP development process, where we move through the steps to get to where we are today in terms of having a draft TIP in front of you for May 2022. And then next month will be the final draft TIP in June. And then once it is formally adopted, we'll begin to operate under this document during the months following that. So the TIP is broken down into several sections in our table of contents. And the first part of it is our TPA priority list of projects. And those types of projects are broken out into three different programs: the state road modifications, the two grant programs, which is the local initiatives program, and the transportation alternatives grant program. In addition to those, a good chunk of the document is the FDOT priority projects and other projects, which encompass the CIS network, the CIS capacity projects, other FDOT projects, local projects that I reach out to all of you to provide to me to incorporate into the document, and other modes of transportation, including airport, railroad, seaport. And then, of course, with all of the infrastructure that's built, there's a section for maintaining and operating all of those facilities that we build, operate, and maintain, including roadway and transit. And so in the first part of the document, you see a collection of summary tables, and those summary tables just kind of give you a high level overview of what to see in the project pages. And in these summary tables, you'll see a rank and year for all our priority projects for the two grant programs, as well as the state road modifications. So there's a year and a rank that they were selected and programmed. And then the common years amongst the two TIP documents, which is the 4 years. And then with each new TIP, there is a new fifth year added. And so each year when I come to you and present to you the TIP, a new fifth year is added at the end of it. And this particular one is fiscal year 2027. And so part of my request today, or as an informational item and to all of you as TAC members, is to review the document, look for any corrections that may be required in any of the projects that you may have as perhaps a lead agency. You may have applied for a local initiative or transportation alternatives grant program, and we ask that you look at the look at the project, make sure everything is accurate, the funding is accurate, the local funding is there, and then also incorporate that into your capital improvement program and provide us that information, and we can ensure that we include the full cost of those types of projects. So if you do happen to find any corrections or want any clarification, you can reach out to myself for the two grant programs for local initiatives and transportation alternatives, or for state road modifications, my counterpart, Connor Campobasso, can also provide clarification. You can reach out to either one of us. So taken as a whole, all of the projects encompass about $3.5 billion. So you can see the breakdown of the federal, state, and local funding that make up the entire TIP document. You can see the lion's share is clearly the mainline system, the CIS capacity projects, and a lion's share of that is state funding. And so that state funding includes the Turnpike And so the Turnpike has its own revenue generating source by using the Turnpike, and they're able to finance their own projects, and that is also incorporated into the document. And so that's how you kind of see that lion's share of state funds within those, within the CIS capacity programs. And then, you know, you could see local funds for maintaining all the infrastructure and operation and maintenance of roadways, and then also transit, which is operated here both by the county and Tri-Rail. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Connor, and he's going to go over the strategic intermodal system and the state road modifications.
Great, thank you. I would like to quickly go over the CIS capacity projects. I have a summary table here, just kind of talking about the high level things. So first off, for the next 5 years, there's about $1.5 billion programmed just on the CIS network alone. That includes a variety of different projects. I have some broken down here. So as far as turnpike widening and interchange projects, there's about $900 million programmed for that in the next 5 years. There's 11 I-95 interchanges that are either coming up for construction or going to be programmed for construction in the next 5 years. And then in addition to that, I also wanted to highlight Beeline Highway, since we're allocating a lot of funding to that. So that's going to be $150 million just for that capacity and project. There's also some other projects on Beeline Highway as well, but that amount is just for the capacity improvements. So stepping down to just the turnpike alone, there's about $900 million programmed for widenings and other improvements in the county. That includes these five capacity projects that are listed from north to south, and that fiscal year is for the construction of it. That includes Okeechobee Boulevard to Beeline Highway, Southern Boulevard to Okeechobee Boulevard, the West Palm Beach Service Plaza to Southern Boulevard. And then in the southern part of the county, we have north of Glades Road to Atlantic, as well as Broward County line to Glades Road. I also wanted to highlight upcoming I-95 projects. So this is projects that are programmed for construction coming either soon or later on in the work program. There's also other projects they're having right now. One of them is Glades Road, which I'll talk about in a later slide, but these are the ones that are coming up. So the ones I did want to highlight here are the 2023. These are going to be happening relatively soon. So this is this includes Indian Town Road, Belvedere Road, as well as 6th Avenue. There's going to be some other ones later on in 27. These are going to be ones that, you know, if you're interested in, the further the project is out, the more comments we can have and more discussions that we can have. So those are the ones that you might also want to keep an eye on. That's going to be Palm Beach Lakes Boulevard, Hypoluxo Road, as well as Gateway Boulevard. And we just wanted to lay it out in a map for you so you can kind of see the distribution of it. These are all CIS projects, not just capacity projects. So looking at Beeline Highway, there is that widening going on that's going to be costing $156 million. But the DOT is also doing traffic mitigation systems throughout a majority of it. I think that's from the county line all the way to Dixie Highway. They're doing some ITS improvements, as well as connected vehicle improvements as well. And that's going to be a little bit later on. Also, there's an upcoming interchange project on Southern Boulevard, which is going to be interesting as well. And then moving down to the South County, like I mentioned earlier, so those 11 interchange projects, those are just upcoming construction projects. There's some on the way. So you have the I-95 widening. So that's a large majority of the corridor, as well as that Glades interchange project, which is under construction now and should be wrapping up relatively soon anyway. Moving forward to the state road modifications. So this is a program that we set up to kind of help add pedestrian complete streets improvements, safety improvements along FDOT corridors, mainly utilizing already programmed projects for maintenance. We've been working very closely with DOT, and they've been very amazing partners in that aspect to help modify these upcoming maintenance projects, as well as additional projects that we've identified working with the municipalities as well as the county. Some that I wanted to highlight, one is the State Road 7 project. So this is, it's a bit on pause right now due to current litigation. So you will see some construction funding in 2022. That's most likely going to be pushed back to either 2023, 2024, depending on how that litigation goes. But that's still an ongoing effort. I think their hearing is in potentially October at this point. So, you know, depending on how that goes, that will shift around the funding. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at the TIP. Moving down to Atlantic Ave, DOT is also doing some capacity improvements, and we're working with them as well as the drainage district to help improve the pedestrian and bike infrastructure along that corridor, in addition to that widening project. So we've been working closely with them. We got some direction from our board as well to do that, but that's an ongoing effort that we're working through right now. And then another project on State Road 7, we're doing a pretty large lighting project that's going to be taking over two phases on State Road 80. And that's going to be utilizing some state dollars, as well as actually I think a majority of it is going to be local initiative funding. So in addition to those updates, I did also want to mention that we do have three new projects that are entering the TIP this time around. So that's Forest Hill Boulevard from Jog Road to Military Trail, Congress Ave from Lake Worth Road to Forest Hill Boulevard, as well as some traffic signal upgrades in the city of Boca Raton. So pretty exciting stuff. But with that, I'll pass it back over to Jason.
Thank you, Connor. So now I'll go over the two grant programs, local initiatives and transportation alternatives, along with some of the FDOT projects. The first is the local initiatives grant program. Within the 5 years, the target is about $100 million in federal funds. And in this particular document, we have about $71 million programmed in federal funds. And there's more, it's more like $130 or $140 million with the local funds included in that. And we see about seven projects that are currently funded in this TIP document for construction in 26 and the new fiscal year 27. But upcoming projects that have already moved through the pipeline and are ready for construction this next fiscal year are Lindell Boulevard, Barwick Road, both in Delray Beach, and Parker Avenue in West Palm Beach. And unfortunately, you've seen this in amendments to this current TIP document that we're working under currently, the cancellation of the Indian Town Road project in Jupiter. So moving on to the Transportation Alternatives Grant Program, that's the smaller of the two programs, and that has a three-year target within this five-year document of about $9.3 million in federal funds, and we have about 10.4 to 10.5 million in federal funds programmed. And upcoming projects that will be funded for construction in this upcoming year are a number of them. There's a Seminole Boulevard for Westgate CRA, Southeast First Street in Boynton Beach, Holly Drive and various locations in Palm Beach Gardens, and Kyoto Gardens Drive in Palm Beach Gardens. And then there's four new projects that have recently been funded for construction in fiscal year 25. And that's Burns Road, El Rio Trail, Grapeview Boulevard, and the C8 Canal. And so you can see on the left-hand side here, the year and the rank. One of the things that I did want to point out, and I'll just go back one slide here. You can see the year and the rank is 21 through 20 and 21 in the year, and this is when they become prioritized. And so you can see that they're up for construction in fiscal year 26 and 27. And the projects that have already moved through the program for construction are in year 17 and 18. And so, you know, that's kind of the lead time that you can expect when you apply for one of these grant programs, about a 5 to 6 year lead time of applying for a grant and having the funds available for construction. Just wanted to point that out. Between the two programs, that's about a 6-7 year timeline. And for transportation alternatives, it's about 3 years. And both programs are construction funds only. And so moving on, for this upcoming year in fiscal year 23, there's other construction projects that are notable. And those are listed here on the screen. There's several of them in the summary tables. There's quite a list of each one of these types of projects. And right here, I'm just highlighting some of the capacity improvement projects throughout the county on Beeline Highway, Lyons Road, and 60th Street. And there's also some resurfacing projects and some bridge bridge replacement projects that I have listed at the bottom here. And the last one is also in the summary tables that you'll see in the executive summary, some new FDOT projects that we've seen. There's a more complete list in the summary tables. And here are just some of the higher ones, the higher dollar amount projects for US 1 and A1A, South Dixie Highway, Lake Worth Road, and Boynton Beach Boulevard. So I think that concludes the presentation, and you know, we'll see this as a formal adoption next month as a final draft. And please review the document, and it's open for questions now, but take the time, go through it. And if you find any corrections that you need, please reach out to us via email, but open for questions at this time.
Thank you, Jason. Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, Terrence has his card up.
All right, thank you very much for the presentation. Quick question. I didn't see anything, and if this staff may have to pull this together, is there a way to correlate the current TIP with the LRTP? We spend a good bit of time and energy creating a long-range transportation plan. It sets out prioritization and is cost feasible, but I don't see, or we didn't discuss a tie back to, here's this year's funding or the projected 5 years. They should be correlated, or we should stop doing the LRTP. If we're just going to create a budget every year that is disconnected from the LRTP, then the LRTP, well, it's required, but sure, there should be a tie back, right? And then be able to say, okay, if we've laid out this five-year plan in the LRTP, we're at about 96% correlated. Here are all the intersections we projected we needed to improve. We funded 90% of them. Here are the roads, here are the sections, here's where we know we have capacity constraints. And come up with, we may need to come up with some system. Is it an A, B, C level of service, a percentage of how they correlate? But there should be a tie back somewhere.
Right. So there is a direct tie back in the TIP, in that when you see specific projects in the project documents for each project, there is an LRTP number that's listed for those specific projects. But what you're looking for is more analytics of saying how is the LRTP kind of, how is the TIP addressing the LRTP in a more quantitative manner, as opposed to there is a direct tie back, because there's a checklist for FHWA and for the DOT to say, how are these two documents linked together? And so we reference a lot of the projects that are in the TIP. They come from the LRTP. It's a list that we pull from and prioritize and then implement. But in terms of how are they kind of answering the call of, are they addressing safety or congestion or those types of metrics, I think is what you're asking, is maybe it's a more data-driven process to say, how are these two documents bound together? And we can do that. It's we're in the process of developing our LRTP, and I'll let Connor speak to it a little more, because we're in the process of scoping out a document and developing our new LRTP for a new update. And so in that process, that comment is well taken, and we can do that to kind of tie the two together with more data driven.
And I understand it could get complicated, maybe just pulling out or creating a annotation that out of this entire TIP, 65% of the funding on a gross basis is LRTP driven. You would hope it's closer to 90, but whatever that dollar number is, since you've already identified all of these as LRTP elements, maybe that's the first step in getting a metric.
Yeah.
But there are a number of other metrics we can use to determine whether this, are we actually implementing the LRTP as approved by this body?
And so, I think I could do that fairly quickly, because there is an LRTP number assigned to the projects in the TIP. And so I could easily take those projects and add up the amount of funds that they are programmed for. In terms of the total cost of the project, maybe not just within the TIP document, that's only the five-year horizon. Sometimes it takes 10 years because they're such huge projects. So we could go along those lines because the LRTP is a 20-year document and the TIP is only a five-year document. So we could probably put those numbers together fairly quickly.
Yeah, we can produce a summary table for you for the when the TIP goes for adoption. We can include that in there as part of that to show which projects are moving forward, which ones aren't moving forward, and comparing and contrast those for you.
Yeah, and that would be quantitative, and then we need to probably get into something qualitative. Are we going in order? The number one priority project first, second, third, because if you're skipping number two and going down to number five, the dollars will look one way, but qualitatively, we're still not following the purpose and intent of the LRTP.
Right.
So again, something to think about. If you can come up, maybe we could, there's a number of different ways and they probably need more than one simple metric, but creating some sort of grading. And I want to say in the UPW about 5 years ago, we discussed this of having some metrics correlating the TIP and the LRTP in tables in our reporting in the UPW. I'd have to go back and find it. But I know this is not the first time I've brought this up about how we make sure that as this body's charged to sort of guide this process, that we actually have a report card to see if we're successful.
Right. And how the work program is addressing or at least accommodating the TIP and the LRTP and the planning documents that are required by the agency. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Terrence. Alex?
A project that I see that keeps being delayed every year now for the last about 8 years is the extension of commuter rail to the northern part of Palm Beach County. I mean, I see again now it says PD&E delayed to fiscal year 25. I mean, this project was put on this table 2014. So now has been 8 years since this project has been at the table. I think it's one of the most critical projects that we have in this entire list here. And every year, what we do here, we just move it 1 year back. So there's absolutely no action. When I have asked in past years about this, TPA staff points to FDOT, who points to FEC for the lack of action on this. I mean, it's what is it that we need to do in order to have some activity on this project? I know FEC is seeking a lot of different things from FDOT right now throughout the state. As part of their expansion of rail, Orlando to Tampa, they're seeking right of way. I mean, there's all these negotiations happening between FDOT and it's really FEC. I mean, we can maybe a sidearm there. I think this is the time to say, well, FEC, if you want this, you need to allow for this, at least the studies for these projects to happen. So I don't know, again, what is it that we need to do in order to have some activity on this project? Because as I said, I think it's critical. It's one of the most important projects that we have here.
So one thing that we're working on right now is we're actually developing up cost estimates for how much both the Tribal Coastal Link extension would cost, as well as an extension to the VA center. So we're working on those right now. I think we're trying to shoot for potentially having a presentation to you all in September. Right now, we still have to finalize those cost estimates. We're working with the stakeholders as well. So we have a meeting. We'll set up meetings with DOT, with SFRTA, as well as with Brightline. We're going to have conversations with those. After those happen, then we'll bring some material to you all as an information item.
Then why are we delaying the PD&E? All the way to 2025. If there may be some activity happening, then I would argue we should keep it at least on year 2024, which is still what, a year and a half from now. And then depends on what happened on all these studies, then we can later on determine whether it needs to be pushed back or again, do it in that year.
Yeah, and I think it comes, I see Valerie stepping up too, but I think it really comes down to the funding availability as well. So it's going to cost quite a lot of money to actually implement. So I think that's why that PD&E keeps on getting pushed back is due to the lack of funds. But I don't know, Valerie, you want to?
I'll do two things. So one thing is, it's good that it at least stays in the TIP so it doesn't drop off. So at least it's a conversation starter. So it's good to at least be in the TIP because then we know that it's on the radar. And the second thing is the funds could move through by way of amendment when they get more formalized and they get their ducks in a row. And, you know, that funding probably could be moved at some time. I'm not aware of that, but when things formalize, that could happen.
If there's issues with funding within this, I mean, now with infrastructure bill and billions of dollars available for specifically this type of project, we're talking commuter rail, which would have a significant impact. Again, it's a more sustainable transportation project. This may be the time, again, to seek that federal funding. If we think that funding is the primary issue to move ahead. I mean, again, right now we're talking PD&E. We're not even talking construction.
Thank you. Valerie Nielsen, TPA Interim Executive Director. I just wanted to answer to the question about the Tri-Rail Coastal Link. The reality is that this is private right-of-way. So with FEC, we first have to even have a cost estimate for the easement to even run on it. And we can prioritize capital funds, but until there's operating funds, we can't make it happen. So it's almost like we're programming these dollars, hoping that as a county, as all of our municipalities together, we can identify those operations and maintenance costs. Because until we have that, we won't be able to make this happen. There was a lot of efforts that happened in 2013, 2014, Tri-Rail Coastal Link, a lot of studies, a lot of effort that went into it. We continue to try to, you know, estimate the costs, but we need an easement to run on private property. We can't make them do anything. And then we also need the operations and maintenance costs. So there is no funding for the enhanced transit to, and we can't fund that. Our funds aren't eligible for that. So we can only prioritize capital infrastructure dollars. So we need the capital. So we have it there, as Jason mentioned and Connor. We can continue to say this is what we want. We can try to tee up those funds so that if we're able to work together to identify a funding source for operations and maintenance, then it lines up. But we have not done that yet. That's not happened. That's not something the TPA can do alone. It's going to have to be, it's an effort that we're trying to help coordinate the parties, identify the corridors through our long-range transportation plan, but ultimately it's going to be a collaborative effort. And ultimately the community will have to determine whether or not are we ready for a surtax in end of 2024? Is it another funding source? How will that play out? But we as a planning agency can't carry that ball across the finish line. That's something that the county and the voters will have to decide.
The PD&E is not an operational program. I mean, PD&E can be done independently of any discussions about operating funds and some of the other things that you're talking about.
Sure.
I mean, right now, what is here is just the PD&E.
And we have
pushing back the PD&E.
We have that there, but the reality is that if we can't run on that line, we don't have permission to, then and those costs become outdated over time. So we are trying to push it forward. As Connor mentioned, we're doing a study right now in terms of cost estimates for the VA extension of Tri-Rail, at least on their rails. But it needs to be pretty close in line. We can't do PD&E and then 10 years later, we're ready to go because it has to be pretty close in time.
But going back to one of my earlier questions is what do we need to do in order to force the hands of the FEC in order to allow, again, for those things to happen? Again, I do think they're seeking approvals and permits from FDOT or throughout the state for other sections of their rail operations. Again, there should be that conversation. What is it going to require to have those, that green light to at least continue these studies? I think it's frustrating. We keep just pushing it. And as I said, I think it's a critical project.
So Alex, what do we need to do is basically, you know, speak to our commissioners, right? All of us who live in Palm Beach County. This is something that the county is going to have to come up with the money for the access rights to the right-of-way. That's what Valerie was talking about. In terms of the PD&E, so the FTA PD&E process is different from the roadway PD&E process that we're all used to, right? We can do a PD&E study. We make sure it's consistent with the LRTP, and we hope to go into construction, get the design right-of-way construction authorized. It can sit on the shelf. With the FTA process, I think that, and I'm not an expert, so, you know, you can quote me to your commissioners and I might be wrong, but I believe that it's more of a two-step process. There's kind of a PD&E that you can do, but it only gets so far. Then you have to make an application to FTA, and to make that application to FTA to actually enter into the NEPA process for them, you have to have your funding all lined up. And so what Valerie said is key. We need to have the access rights negotiated, and that's a county thing. It's not a DOT thing. It's not a, you know, us at the TAC level. This is a much bigger issue of who's going to be the operating agency, and then who's going to pay for these dedicated funding source. So one of the things that Broward County has done, you know, they passed a tax, sales tax for dedicated funding source. They were able to negotiate those rights, access rights to the corridor. And they're just now, right, you might have heard in the news, the Broward Commuter Rail. That's the Tri-Rail Coastal Link, Broward County piece. And they've been working with Miami-Dade County to try and get that whole corridor kind of studied in terms of the FTA NEPA process. Palm Beach, I think it would be a mistake to take it out of the TIP at this point. I think it is a priority. It's been in your long-range transportation plan. And if you take it out of the TIP, at least as a practicing agency, you're saying it's not our priority. So,
which I'm not advocating
right.
to take it out.
I understand. I'm just kind of trying to tell you why it keeps rolling forward, and it's better to roll forward so that it's ready to hit the ground when that ultimate funding piece gets put in place.
Thank you, Alex. Next is John. You had a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to give a brief update on the Atlantic Avenue PD&E study from Turnpike to Jog. We had come to an agreement, I think, on a typical section that we were moving forward with. That allowed us to then approach the Lake Worth Drainage District. We had a meeting, a workshop with them, I believe it was around April 5th or the week of April 5th. Met with the board April 13th, I believe, and they told us we can't live with this typical section. It encroaches too much into the right-of-way of the board. So we're kind of back on our heels. They were saying, can you look at ways to reduce the tip sidewalk down to 6 feet? Can you reduce the bike lanes on the roadway? So I just wanted to kind of informationally get this out here. I think it's going to have to come before the board. We're talking to staff as a way to get this before the board and get some direction. I think my guidance to TPA staff is, you know, if you have, we might need to go to the commission and ask them to have conversations. If they know, you know, the board members at Lake Worth Drainage District, you know, maybe some, they might need to have some conversations at that level. But I did want to report that this could compromise, I guess, our schedule on that project. I know it's a high priority. You know, every time we go to the public, they're screaming for it to be done faster and faster. So this is just kind of a status update on that. And you may hear more about that coming in the near future.
Thank you, John. Mo has his card up.
Mo, did you still have a question?
Thank you. I was just going to ask about the status of the request to cancel a project interconnecting town of Palm Beach. I don't think I saw it listed as one of the projects that to be canceled, unless I missed it.
Right.
A single interconnect project.
Yeah, I think the funding year was fiscal year 22. So it would naturally fall off. It's in the current TIP, but we're moving into the new TIP, which starts with fiscal year 23. So it wouldn't be represented in the draft TIP document that I'm presenting today, because it starts in 23 and that project has funding in 22. And so it wouldn't be represented. And so it would kind of naturally sunset or just kind of fall off the TIP document. And then may have to do so, even though this document is in draft and we'll adopt it formally next month, we may still have to do an amendment. Possibly I'll have to follow up with DOT to find out what are the next steps to unencumber those funds and then reallocate them. It could just be a natural process to where the project doesn't get implemented, and maybe it's just some formal documentation with the county They'll provide you with the documentation to unencumber the funds and cancel the project, but it may not come as a formal amendment because it's in 22 and this current draft tip starts in 23. So that's why you don't see it actively represented. I just reported on the projects that are still in the TIP document.
So that was funded in FY 22.
I said
that makes perfect sense. I think the project was funded in FY 2022. So
correct.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to make sure that it's still being canceled and it's formally considered as canceled project.
Thank you. Thank you, Mo. Tom?
Thank you. It's a certainly a pleasure to be back with you all here, filling in for Kim Delaney. Just to echo a little bit of what Alex was saying, so I've served on this committee as a representative for Green Acres many years ago, and now with the Treasure Coast Regional Planning Council and the Tri-Rail Northern Extension. You know, it's like trying to find the end of the rainbow. Every year we go over the next hill. Oh, no, still it's over the next hill. It's over the next hill. It's over the next hill. You know, as far as capital construction cost for the project, now is the time. There is money available out there now through the infrastructure bill that we'll probably never see again. While we're doing this kind of work, maybe we'll be retired and get to see it again, but I don't think we'll see it again at that scale, given everything that's changing out there. That's number one. Number two, the estimate that you all are working on, which presumably includes the access easement cost, do we know enough now from what Dade County and Broward County have negotiated with FEC that we can estimate that? Do we know those numbers?
So right now the consultants just put together the capital costs and then they're working on some additional costs over the next couple months. So we should know, I want to say potentially in June, but we don't have those numbers estimated for our region just yet.
So the study that Connor's referring to isn't on the FEC, it's an extension on Tri-Rail to the VA. So it's a little bit different, right? Is that what your question is regarding FEC, the easement, correct? Were you referring to the FEC?
It's both. It's a VA extension as well as the Tri-Rail Coastal Link extension.
But our study for the FEC, Tri-Rail Coastal Link, when we investigated it previously for our county, yes, there is an estimate that we could go off of in Miami, but when we tried to talk to them, they were not interested in negotiating or even having that conversation. So we can hypothesize on maybe they would give us this deal, but they're not interested right now. They're focused on Brightline Phase 2 on their tracks, and they're not open to discussions of other rails running on their tracks. So.
And I guess if I could, the last little piece of a question, what is the timeline on the potential county sales tax for transportation, and would some of that money be able to be spent for tri-rail operations across the county?
Shouldn't have left. So
I waited till you got back.
Sure. So we know that we need a funding source for operations and maintenance to go after these dollars that are available for construction and that are available for transit capital, and that we can prioritize for transit capital. We have identified in our long-range transportation plan what those desires are. We are trying to work with the county, with our transit agency, with the municipalities on that roadmap. Previously, we had discussed potentially November 2024 could be an opportunity if that's the right path to go after some sort of a combination or enhanced transit funding source. But it's still, we're in those initial conversations. As a planning agency, we can't lobby, we can't carry that ball forward. So we're trying to coordinate all the partners, get the vision, determine how much would this cost, what is it that everybody wants in terms of enhanced transit, in terms of mobility, and then figure out what does that cost and what is the right path? What is the right path to pursue? And are we ready? Does everybody want that? We're in that phase right now. So when we talk about timeline, yes, potentially November 2024 could be an opportunity, but we're still trying to figure out those how that will work and what is the best path. So we're right now, we've studied in our 561 plan from our long range transportation transit desires, Tri-Rail Coastal Link, the Tri-Rail extension in the VA, both of those are desires. And then we have various multimodal corridors that we would like to pursue that we think are the best for enhanced transit service. So we call that the 561 plan. We already studied US-1. It crossed 42 miles. And I know Treasure Coast Regional Planning Council worked on that, but 14 communities. So we have the cost estimates on that. We are prioritizing funds for already with Palm Tran for enhanced transit stations, electric vehicles, transit signal priority, working with the county. And so that's already in our tip moving forward in terms of bus rapid transit light service, and also the roadway improvements and modifications along that corridor. It changes so many times. So it's segment by segment, working with each municipality. Okeechobee Corridor, we have that workshop coming up on Tuesday. It's a planning study. It's a let's look at alternatives, let's look at where it would make sense, what are the estimated costs of that, and then what are the next steps, which would ultimately be working with FDOT, the roadway owner, with the municipalities, with the transit agency. The other corridors in that plan, we're looking at, rather than doing corridor by corridor, doing more of a 561 mobility vision refinement plan, and that would get kicked off probably in the next month and take a year to look at the rest of the remaining corridors in that in the transit desires and identify what those estimated costs and operating and both capital costs would be, so that we can have a number of this is what we need, and we can from there say what's the path to get it and are we ready for that.
We're going to do Michael, then Terrence, then Vicki.
My question kind of goes back to, I think, what Jason was talking about a little bit earlier. When projects get canceled on the TPA or LTLI, how do they get, you mentioned they would get, maybe get reallocated. We are in budget cycles like everybody else at this point in time, and the costs are rising dramatically. So I'm assuming, but maybe you'll give me some really great news, that the municipalities are going to be stuck with any increase in costs over and above what these projects are going to run because they are 3 and 5 and 7 years out. Is there any dollars that we can look to as we get these grants to being reimbursed in any way for cost overrides basically due to inflation that we're seeing right now? Because right now we're seeing 20%.
Yes. So we are struggling with a few different projects that are in that kind of financial situation to where the local share is escalating and the overall cost is escalating. And so some projects fall out and end up being canceled for lack of funds. And when those holes are created in the TIP document, they kind of have to be replaced one-to-one with some other project or near or similar the needs of those amounts. So sometimes like Indian Town Road, that was a few years out. So in that year that it was canceled, we find other projects that could use those same type of funds in that same year that it was canceled to be replaced or supplemented. And as projects move through the process and get closer to construction, it's really hard to find additional funds in these near year terms of fiscal year 22 and 23, because it's not easy to find money quickly within those years. But the further out it is, sometimes there's possibilities if other projects fall out in future years. But overall, I think even with the funding that we have, we don't see a lot of additional funds, and they seem to just kind of supplement the projects, the priority projects that we have, and those funds get eaten up pretty quickly. So it's hard to pass along the additional funds that we see through the federal acts that are providing additional funds to locals to supplement the increase in cost? Because I feel like it appears that everybody's struggling with the same issue. And now it's just a matter of prioritizing maybe how bad do you want the project, or how can you finance these increases that are seemingly unprecedented? They're far beyond what you see in a cost estimate. And we're kind of grappling with that project by project. So that's kind of the long answer. The short answer is we don't really have the funds to supplement it. If we could, we certainly would, because we have a grant program and we want to support these projects, but the funding just isn't there.
I just wanted to add one little portion. Jason's correct on that. Andrew Euler, Deputy Director of Program Development. What he said is spot on when it comes to sort of products that are really close to construction, right? So when you have new cost estimates, and we're seeing some huge increases in those, and that's really hard to work with on those. But we're working with FDOT when funding comes available. We're trying to meet with them regularly to see where they're, you know, placing those funds that we have available. I guess some good news long-term is with this new infrastructure bill, what you're seeing in this TIP is really based on previous funding estimates. And so with this new infrastructure bill, both our LI and TA programs should go up a little bit. TA is gonna go up a lot more than what it's currently at. It's at about $3 million. It may double up to $6 million. And so that could probably provide some relief to these increases in costs in the long-term, right? So if we're getting another $3 million annually, I'm sure a lot of this is going to be eaten up by increases in cost instead of trying to push products forward.
Because I can just see this being a spiral. I mean, you say a project drops out, there's another, say, $500,000 available. You go to the next one in line, but they've got to come up with another $750,000 to fund something that they were looking at $200,000 worth. And so
right,
they're going to just drop off as well. So you know, trying to keep these, you want to keep this money moving, but I can see the spiral.
And in recognizing that, now that we've started to talk to DOT on a more regular basis, we're recognizing that in future years. And so I'm hoping we can move forward with a plan to, although we have, it's like LI is $100 million for 5 years and it's a $20 million annual program, holding back some of those funds somehow. So when projects move forward, we can accommodate some of the escalating costs. The difficulty is how do you kind of keep set aside funds without programming it somewhere to buffer escalating costs? And hopefully we can find a way to do that.
Is there a way that
John, do you
those
have
project and those projects that are coming in could, based on the schedule of funding, could we provide you some kind of update to, say, 12 months out or 8 months out, we provide you some update to what we're going to see on construction costs so that you can look at and say, well, this is what the grant was provided for. These were the construction costs then. Now we're 8 months out or a year out from receiving funding. This is where we are. It still may not cover it when we get there, but at least it's a buffer. It helps.
Right, John?
So I guess there's a lot of dialogue that's going on, but maybe I can give you a snapshot into how FDOT deals with this in a normal year, right? This is obviously not a normal period with the inflation that's going on and the cost of construction increases. But what happens every year, we rebalance the work program throughout the entire state, right? Obviously our district's 5 counties. So we look at cost increases, projects that get deleted, and then we try to adjust all of our estimates and keep every project that's in the current fiscal year funded and moving forward. Occasionally, when DOT comes before the board with the draft tentative work program, you'll see a project gets deferred. And that's because maybe the cost went up, maybe there was a delay in production. You know, there are things that happen that move projects out. In general, for the LAP projects that you're talking about, the local projects, when there is a cost increase, I know DOT does try to work with the locals in trying to cover eligible costs if there's available funding. So at the time that we enter into the LAP agreement with you all, there is a discussion that goes on and we kind of see, all right, you know, are the unit costs going up? Is there available funding to help absorb that? I think what you're talking about in terms of a way to plan for a box, right? We've been talking to Broward MPO as well. about ways to do that. We can't just keep a contingency box out there, right? We planned a zero. And then feds, you know, track this stuff pretty closely. But I believe one of the things we've been investigating is maybe using some sort of escalation cost. I think we print in the work program instructions some escalation costs that might be something the municipalities could use when they prepare their first cost estimate. So it's a published number that we accept. You could say, all right, you know, here's our estimate, our best estimate. It's 5 years out or 4 years out, and we want to use an escalation of whatever this, you know, your posted escalation rate. And we've been trying to work with our LAP group to see if that's something that we can build into the process, especially obviously in these times right now where the costs are skyrocketing. So we're certainly open to trying to work with you. I didn't want you to get your hopes too high on being able to build a contingency box. It sounds like a, you know, great idea, just put it out there. But there's programming issues with that as well. How do you determine who gets the, you know, contingency first? You know, is it the first project that comes in the door, goes up, and then everybody else is out of luck? So there's a lot of programming issues with that as well that would make it unfair potentially to a lot of people. But in order to fairly address that, I think maybe this escalation in unit costs, just normal escalation, and maybe we'll adjust that escalation due to unit costs right now and inflation. But that's kind of a snapshot of how we do it every year.
Yeah, and John, so and in that, in line with that, it wouldn't necessarily help any of the immediate projects or current projects in the TIP document, because as you develop that, it would happen in much future years if we were able to even build into something like that. So we're looking at several years out, even if something like that was to be developed. So we wouldn't see a contingency in the next couple of cycles of grants, just as a perspective of this is an opportunity, but it'd be several years out if it was able to be created.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Done with your comment?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Vicki? No, I'm sorry, Terrence. Terrence, you were next. I apologize.
That's all right. I'm back on Coastal Link, specifically the VA extension. And I know I'm not going to be able to get an answer right now, but can someone confirm or ensure that the $150 million Beeline expansion does not eliminate our potential opportunity for the Coastal Link at the VA if they eat up all the right-of-way, whatever the capacity expansion is going to be, just if there's something we could do now inside of that project that'll make that VA extension easier, or if it's contemplated in the PD&E or whatever, let's not act like they're not sitting next to each other with adjacent right-of-ways. And it is a priority for the city of Riviera Beach and the larger community out there to try to diminish traffic coming into the core. And if we can get a transit and have people basically a park and ride out in that area, I think it'll serve all of us in the North County.
Yeah, we've been working with the PM for that project. We've been participating in the public hearings that they've been doing for that Beeline extension project. Been working with Jim as well with DOT. So we'll make sure that they're constantly aware. I don't think they're impacting any of the trains right of way. As far as station right of way, we'll continue to work with them and make sure that that doesn't eliminate the potential of a VA extension station up there. So, but that's a good comment. We'll make sure of that.
And basically to Alex's point, and I think I've been here for a decade and Alex has got more time than I. We've been talking about this operating funding for feels like two decades to get transit in the North County. So I still didn't hear of how do we land the plane? We all know what it is. It's going to have to go to referendum. It's going to the ballot. How do we get to the ballot? Can this body make a motion to the TPA board and have the TPA board make petition to Palm Beach County to put it on the ballot for dedicated funding source? Is that in our authority? Because Valerie said that we're not allowed to lobby. I don't know if lobby is the right word. We're an advisory committee and we advise that you go find some money. I mean, help me here, because again, as somebody who's been at this for 10 years, we still haven't landed on how do we land the plane?
Yes, the board can make a resolution requesting that the county investigate this and advance the operation and maintenance funding source for enhanced transit. It really needs to be the county and the transit agency that advance that funding conversation. We're a partner in that in identifying the needs and the costs and the benefits of it. And that's what we're trying to do because we haven't gotten there yet. So with those conversations. So we have our desires, as I mentioned, we're doing the planning studies, but we really need them to get to the table, and that's what we're working on. So to answer your question, the TAC could request that the board make a resolution saying that to please county pursue a referendum for enhanced transit funding. We're trying to navigate, you know, the roadmap for that right now in terms of, again, identifying the cost, the needs, the benefits, getting everybody on board with that vision, but also not getting too far ahead of ourselves saying this is we need a surtax on this date because there are competing interests. So we do want to be we do want to make sure we do it right, and we don't put the cart before the horse, I guess. But to answer your question, yes, you could request, hey, we really need to move this conversation forward. Board, we'd like you to make a resolution to advance this conversation. We're working on it. We're trying to get that ball rolling and in the 561 mobility vision and working with all of you on that. But yeah.
Great. So then I'd like to make a motion to request the TPA board make a resolution to Palm Beach County Commission to authorize a countywide referendum for dedicated funding source for operational dollars for Tri-Rail Coastal Link.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Is that something they can make at this point, or do we have to put it on an agenda for consideration?
No, there's a motion on the floor. Can discuss it.
All right. I have a motion from Terrence, a second from Alex. Any comments on this motion?
I wrote it down if you want it. It's kind of fast.
I just want to make a comment to clarify. So if the committee would like to advance enhanced transit in general, so including BRT or potential other enhanced transit corridors, east, west, and north, south, which is our 561 plan, that's what we need operations and maintenance to make a reality. Tri-Rail Coastal Link is just one of the lines on that plan. So that might be something to, that's what we really need is a countywide enhanced transit funding source for operations and maintenance to move these desires forward. Tri-Rail Coastal Link is one of those lines. And again, we can't, even if we had operations dollars, we can't run on that line until FEC, private entity, allows us to, and legally we can't make them do anything. So just want to clarify, if you want to, you know, carry the conversation forward for operations and maintenance dollars for enhanced transit in this county that serves all of the communities, that's more of a broader request.
I hear you and I understand. I'm a little resistant to that because we can't walk and chew gum yet. So there's no way we're going to be able to dunk a basketball and get all these transit dollars. While I understand that this will appear to facilitate the communities further to the east, I'd like to see if we can at least get this done before we, because again, if we go with your suggestion, you're gonna set up an argument because there's a limited pot of funds and everybody's gonna wanna reach their hand in the bucket. If we just focus on this one thing that we haven't been able to get done for 20 years, I'm not gonna say some of these other issues are a little Johnny come lately, but if we just try to focus on getting one thing done first and then make people believe that transit's a reality and expand it over time. I don't know that we could sell to the communities that transit is this panacea. So we should go out there because it's not going to be cheap, right? So I will entertain a friendly amendment if somebody wants to put one on the floor, but I think it should be discussed thoroughly on whether we honestly believe that we can go in a referendum and ask for all of that versus having a very specific and narrowly tailored ask of this county.
So just to clarify, the 561 plan is the adopted transit desires for enhanced transit by the board in our long range transportation plan. So that is the plan that we're trying to move forward for enhanced transit service.
on this motion?
So, Madam Chair, I do have Mo, John, and I don't know if Vicky also has comments on this motion that's on the floor.
Yeah.
And Tom as well.
Hey, I just wanted to mention, Terrence, maybe include, you know, this project is in the TIP. It does have a FM number. So when you do this resolution, you may be able to tie it directly to a project specific to the TIP because you're kind of targeting that. Just as a recommendation, I'm just throwing it out there, like, just to make it more specific because you are wanting to get into the details and there is a project that's specific to what you're looking for. So
I can accept adding the specific project number referenced in the TIP in the motion. If somebody can, you'll add it.
I'll add it in there and I will share it on the screen once we're ready to take a vote. So everyone's clear on it, Madam Chair.
Okay.
And then I do have another 10 card raised for Chris Marsh.
Okay, Vicky's been waiting. I'm gonna let her go first.
Well, first, a comment on this motion. If you are, if you want to direct these transit funds specifically to that one project to extend commuter rail to the Northern County, so I think you have to understand that the comments that have been made to this point. Yes, there's capital and infrastructure funding, but there usually is for capital. For operating and maintenance, that has turned into sort of a catch-22. We don't know the access fee, therefore we can't assess the operating. For SFRTA to construct a new facility, a new station, and operate service into a new station, the agency's position is that we need local participation. The locals can't participate until they know what the costs are. We don't know what the costs are because that's dependent on the FEC telling us what an access fee would be, and then also to allow, to permit Tri-Rail to operate, even operate on that line. Today, as things stand today, we're very aware in south and the southern counties that Tri-Rail is trying to go finalize its station, Miami Central in downtown Miami. That right now for both Brightline and the RTA, as far as Tri-Rail is concerned, that is a priority. Brightline, on Brightline's side, their priority is rebounding from COVID, getting the three stations they currently have operating, building their Boca and Aventura stations, and then you know, taking over the world, basically, right? They're going north. We don't control, RTA does not control the FEC, and anything RTA would do on the FEC is controlled by that entity. So if you're gonna try to tie funds to that, you know, it's very iffy. And I would say, I would agree with Valerie, focus on the broader transit funding at this point, but don't leave out, you never know what can happen. So you don't wanna leave the you don't wanna leave the PD&E out of any plan because things could happen. As we know, we're constantly finding ways to fund projects that looked defunct, but because we kept them in a plan, they were eligible for federal funding. So I would say, please keep it in the in your plans, in any plans we do, because as we see new funding opportunities, be they federal or local, then we're poised for that. So that would be, those are my comments.
Okay, Tom, you're next.
Thank you, Tom Lanahan, Treasure Coast. A couple of points to throw out there. I think the suggestion to the TPA board should be, should encompass the operational funding for that the county provides towards Tri-Rail, not just for the extension, but across the current Tri-Rail service. so that it is a countywide, more countywide effort. So there should be more countywide support for that. And that would, I think, theoretically liberate some funds that are already going towards that, that might be able to go to some of these other transit enhancements. So number one. Number two, you know, the access issues with the FEC and Brightline, they are going to be poised to be looking for some very significant dollars out there for just two bridges or tunnels or teleporters, whatever, however they're getting across the New River in Fort Lauderdale, and also up in Stewart, and maybe even elsewhere along the line. So there's some very significant ass out there that this is the opportunity for our partners at FDOT to say to Brightline and FEC, if you want this $1 billion for this bridge, you will provide access at this reasonable dollar amount for commuter rail on your system. This is how that works. I think they would be surprised if they didn't get such a request. I think there's a lot of things in motion that if you look at the timelines on these things, if we move forward reasonably with a dedicated funding source and keep the PD&E in there and initiate these discussions, these things could all connect at a good point, not too far down the road from here. That's it.
Thank you, Tom. John? Oh, okay. We'll go to Mo, or does she?
Okay, thank you. I think it's a little premature to make a motion like this one to the board. The process is taking its place. You need to do the studies and assessments and the cost estimates and all the other things and get enough information and precise information about what it will take to implement a project before you go to the voters and taxpayers to ask them to fund something like that. We had experience with the county when we went for the surtax funding program some 6 years ago. We specified individual projects that would be funded, and we specified why they need to be funded, and what's the cost, et cetera. So at this point, I think this motion is not necessary. The process is working itself and going through itself, and there is no need for us to make any motion to the board at this point. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mo. Christopher?
Good morning. I agree with Valerie as it relates to supporting the 561 plan, keeping it to a broader and more inclusive of all the residents of the county as part of this, and really focus on creating a dedicated source of operating funding, whether it be the 1 cent tax or some other source that would be dedicated to transit, and not just funds that would be kind of mixed in with everything else.
Okay, would you like to make an alternate motion?
Sure. The alternate motion would be to create a dedicated source of operating funding to support the 561 plan, with specific emphasis on the Tri-Rail Coastal Link.
Okay. Is there a second?
A second then.
Okay. All right. Any further conversation on the alternate motion?
Yes, quick question.
Okay.
So your motion is to this body to request the TPA to then have referendum to Palm Beach County, or resolution to Palm Beach County. We kind of missed the beginning of the, we got the end part, but not the beginning. Is that what this alternative motion is?
That's correct.
Okay.
And to be clear, Chris, I did share on the screen what I understood your motion to be. Is that accurate? For the substitute?
I think you need the first part of my motion, the motion to get the TPA board to bring resolution to Palm Beach County to get the, it's like three steps.
Yeah, no, I agree with Terrence.
Where am I going to? All the way. Oh.
While we're doing that, Chair, procedural question. So do we take my motion first, and then if my motion fails, then we go to this alternative motion? Or do we do the alternative motion first, and if it fails, then we return back to my motion?
We would do the substituted motion first, take a vote, and then if it fails, we would go back to your motion.
Okay.
Still open for comment?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. In terms of Tri-Rail Coastal Link, maybe would you want to broaden that title and say North County Coastal Link, North County Coastal Link? You may end up, you know, negotiating with a different body than Tri-Rail for that link. I mean, as much as I like to see the Tri-Rail name there, I think in the interest of Palm Beach County, you might just want to broaden the title there.
If I may, Valerie, it's my understanding in the decade I've been here, we have always referred to this as Tri-Rail Coastal Link, maybe as a vernacular, if that is not, if it's something that should be more specific, but I thought we all had a good imagination of what Tri-Rail Coastal Link, that's the word we've always used. If there's something else that gets us to that same end zone.
I think I agree with Vicky in the sense that I think it's what makes most sense is to say the 561 plan, which includes all PalmTran and Tri-Rail Coastal Link. The Tri-Rail Coastal Link was is the desire to have Tri-Rail run on the FEC. Currently, Brightline runs on the FEC. Until FEC allows Tri-Rail to run on Brightline, then there is no Tri-Rail Coastal Link. So if there were, with what Vicky is referring to, if potentially there were funding to say Brightline, could you add in a station in the town of Lake Worth Beach or in whatever town? It might be or Palm Beach Gardens. It might be a Brightline station versus a Tri-Rail station. So the Tri-Rail Coastal Link is a vision, is a desire, but it may not be Tri-Rail running on those tracks. So my recommendation is to say support operations funding for the 561 plan, which includes the five north-south corridors, FEC for Tri-Rail Coastal Link or whatever transit rail service runs on it for these additional stations, the CSX with Tri-Rail to the VA extension, and then Congress, Military, Okeechobee, Lake Worth Road, Forest Hill, Glades, Boynton Boulevard, and then Atlantic Avenue. Those are the 561 corridors that would provide funding for PalmTran and Tri-Rail and these desires that are the adopted desires. But Tri-Rail Coastal Link can't happen until we have the other keys in place, which we can't force. So it may be a different service that happens. We can't mandate that.
You have Mo and then Alex.
Vicky, are you done?
Yes.
All right, Mo.
Thank you. Yeah, I have issues with both motions. One of the issues that I have with the motion that is now on the screen regarding the support for the 561 plan in general, I think this is about jumping the gun. We don't know yet. We agreed and we discussed this in the past repeatedly, especially when we're developing and adapting the current LTP.
I'm sorry, Mo. It is really hard to hear you. We're getting every other word. Are you able to get closer to the mic or pick a different mic source of some sort.
Right. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
I'm starting to speak up. Okay. Sorry. So the issue with the 561 plan, voter support for the operation, et cetera, we don't know exactly what type of operation we will have. We don't know yet what type of system, transit system that we have. So I don't understand how are we asking for all of this at this point. I think that we have agreed that we will be funding evaluation and study for each of those corridors in time. Now, currently we are doing Okeechobee and SR7 to determine what type of transit we wanna support and build. So we don't know yet what exactly we want to do. And also on top of all of that, the question here is, do we know how much operating budget we need to provide to support this program or this plan? Is this the reason that this is not moving forward? Is because we cannot find the budget, the money? I don't think that there's a yes answer to either one of these questions. Therefore, I don't see really a need for this, any of these motions at this point. First, again, I want to reiterate, we don't know exactly how much operating budget that we need to support this plan, including even the tri-rail coastal link, which is a part of it. And secondly, I don't see that the reason that we are not moving towards that implementation is because we do not have that operating funding available. So I don't see why we are going with this motions. I think that there's no need for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. Alex?
I think all of this started because of a discussion for a call for action on the extension of the tri-rail to the northern part of Palm Beach County. And now we have thrown everything to the pot and now it's everything's kind of diluted. We're asking for everything from everybody, which is not what this was supposed to be about, at least what I thought, and I don't want to speak for others, for Tom or Terrence, but I'm a little bit concerned that now we're throwing Congress and stuff on Glades Road and who knows what into this whole discussion. I mean, this was, hey, we need some action, some activity from the TPA board to basically initiate a conversation or prompt the county to have to do something to see what needs to happen in order to have the extension of tri-rail to the northern Palm Beach County. To me, that's what the conversation was about. And now we have, again, thrown so many things. So that's why I think we should keep it more focused. I seconded Terrence's motion. I'm not philosophically opposed to what Christopher is proposing. I am concerned with what TPA staff is suggesting, because again, now it will be, we want everything funded, everything is at the same level, which is not what the conversation is about. We want some activity, some action, some movement on the extension of tri-rail to northern Palm Beach County. So let's encourage the TPA board to talk to Palm Beach County to do something about that. That to me is what I want to see here. And now again, we are putting way too many things into this. So I'm a little bit concerned about now the how this is being expanded into this overall conversation about the overall 561 plan, which I'm not opposed about. But again, we're talking about a specific item here that we have been discussing for 20 years that was included into the TIP almost a decade ago. And there hasn't been any activity on. So that, to me, is what this should be about.
But you're also linking it with the referendum, the countywide referendum.
Correct. But again, at the same time, this is not about everything. Every transit discussion in Palm Beach County, right. Specifically, we do want to see some movement on this. And this is the project that is included in the TIP right now, for which there hasn't been any activity for over a decade.
But your motion is advocating that that's the focus of the referendum.
Absolutely, yes.
Kara, can I just clarify? We did, the board did take action on this. They actually established a subcommittee to advance the Tri-Rail Coastal Link with the county. TPA paid our consultant. We had several months of meetings. We hit a dead end because we could not, as Vicky said, get an easement or even an estimate to the easement. The private property owner was not open to the discussion. So we did really pursue this. We asked the municipalities along the coastal link, as Vicky said, to pursue resolutions for local operating dollars to help support those stations. And to date, none of them have. This was a couple of years ago, but we had, the board did take action and did try to advance this conversation. So in terms of no action happening, there has been action. We just hit a stalemate on it. And as Vicky mentioned, right now, FEC is focused on adding their additional stations on Brightline and phase two of Brightline to Orlando. So they are not open to these discussions at this moment in time. But I understand your point that you're just trying to focus on that discussion. What I was trying to clarify in terms of this motion. And to Mo's point, Mo is correct. We need to do the studies. We need to identify how much does it cost? What are the alternatives that are being proposed? In terms of this motion, it's more of a motion requesting, my understanding of the motion is requesting that the TPA board make a formal resolution to the county to authorize pursuing a funding source. More details need to be established on what that funding source is, on how much it is. Those are things that the TPA is helping to work on right now, but the motion itself is just more of a formal request to the board to request the county to pursue this. That's my understanding. So that's the clarification that I was trying to provide.
Okay, we'll go with Christopher.
And then Terrence raised his hand card and Vicky raised hers. And Alex, are you good? No, Alex probably still Maybe. Has his own. Chris, when you're ready.
Thank you. I think that the big picture is we're looking for somebody to take the lead on operating these stations. None of the municipalities are stepping up and doing that. That's why these PD&Es are not moving forward. So this hopefully will get the ball rolling and create those much needed dedicated funds to operating so we could start leveraging the matching federal funds for infrastructure. So I think we do need to keep it big picture and obviously as part of the 561 plan, we're going to prioritize what are the most important links and do those first. But we really need to look at the whole picture and we need to create a lasting dedicated operating funding source if this is going to work. And it does need to include everybody if it's going to work. We can't just focus on little pieces on the coast and leave everybody out that is west. And obviously doing that will only create a problem that's much worse for us because they'll continue to develop west rather than redevelop in the middle areas where these transit areas could be located.
We'll go with Terrence and then Vicky.
Okay. I just wanted to reiterate, this is just a recommendation from this body to the TPA board. It could land at the board and they're like, we love our plan. We love what we're doing already. Thank you. And we're going to keep moving. So this is not going straight to Palm Beach County. This is just, we are the technical advisory committee and we're advising you, you need to find some money. I mean, I hate to boil it down to being that simple, but it kind of is. You need to find some money or we're going to be discussing this for the next 30 years because that money's not going to fall out of the sky. It's not going to come out of ad valorem taxes. It does not exist. The till box will never cover operating revenue unless something spectacularly changes. So with that, I'd like to call the question.
Okay. Can I let Vicky speak?
If he calls the question, then discussion stops.
Okay. I'll retract. I'd like to give Vicky the opportunity.
Okay. And Terrence, your microphone is off, but he said he's retracting. So
yes,
Vicky,
I'm retracting. I would like. I don't want to do that. I'll give up Vicky opportunities to say something. Can we call the question after that, though?
I do have that Mo raised his hand again, so it would be Vicky and then Mo.
Certainly not for Mo.
My only comment at this point is that, you know, with if this motion is supported, just that, you know, we need to understand that you could still end up with the same conundrum that, you know, you need approvals for access fee and to get on that FEC corridor. That said, I'm taking into account Tom's comment that to have funding in place gives you a negotiating position with the FEC in terms of looking at the entire regional line. So that's pretty interesting, and it would take some intelligent and strong negotiators, but it's a possibility. So I would support this motion the way it is.
The substitute or the original?
I'm leaning to the substitute. Sorry, Alex.
It's not my motion, but
okay. Mo?
Thank you. And I'm sorry that, you know, I'm agonizing you with the bad quality of my connection. It appears that you cannot hear me well. I can tell that by your facial expressions, some of you that I can see on the screen. My point is that here, that the funding for the 561 plan and including the tri-rail, the coastal link, et cetera, was part of what is now being discussed broadly, the initiative for the one penny or whatever surtax that we wanted to jointly push for to support transportation in the county. And I believe we are calling it at this point the transportation tax. And this 561 is big element in it, and it's part of the conversation now with all the stakeholders. And I know that Valerie is leading that discussion as well. So that's why I'm thinking that, you know, putting forth this motion now and recommendation to the board is distracting, and it really doesn't look good when you go out and ask for money and support when you don't exactly know the specifics of what you wanna do and how much exactly it's gonna cost, et cetera, et cetera. So from that perspective, I believe we should not be pursuing a motion like this one. Having said that, I agree with Alex that, and with Tom, I believe, lamented onto this too, that we probably need to encourage the board to make any resolution necessary to compel the parties that are have the power to approve certain things that the FEC needs for their own projects now, to compel them to cooperate with us and in approving and allowing this coastal link to move forward. That's something that I think is strategically correct and good idea to pursue. However, I will not be able to support any of the motions that, you know, ask the county to go out and support a referendum asking taxpayer to pay for something that is not clear what it is, and at this point where we don't know exactly what is the cost going to be, and especially that we are already in discussion about other transportation needs that need to be funded through surtax. And I believe we are talking about 2026. That's the sunset of the current surtax that the county has enacted about 4 or 5 years ago. Thank you.
Chair, if we could call the question.
Alex, I'm sorry, we're gonna call the question. We'll call the first question. Do you wanna go vote by vote?
Yes, we'll do a roll call vote. So just to be clear to everybody present, the motion on the floor is a substitute motion to request the TPA board make a resolution to Palm Beach County Commission to authorize a countywide referendum to create a dedicated source of operating funding to support the 561 plan with specific emphasis on the Tri-Rail Coastal Link Project, FM number 4170317. It was a motion made by Christopher Marsh and seconded by Michael O'Dell. I'm sorry, Alex.
That FM, and just to clarify, because the FM reference there is for the extension.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alex, your microphone's not on.
Just to clarify, because we have an FM number there, that is for the project that is the extension of Tri-Rail Coastal Link from West Palm Beach to Jupiter. So then the language would need to be modified to reflect that, because that's what that FM number is about. It's about that specific project. I just want to be clear, which is goes to kind of what Vicky's point too. If we're talking about the Northern Extension, then that's what that FM number refers to. So
as Chris is the motion maker, I will ask him to clarify that portion of it.
I accept the amendment.
I'm sorry?
I accept the amendment to the motion.
So to be clear, I'm taking out the FM number only.
No, I'm keeping.
My suggestion was to emphasis on the extension of Tri-Rail to Northern Palm Beach County.
That doesn't clarify for me.
I'm sorry. Do you want us to just add in between the and Tri-Rail, just the extension of?
I think that would make it more clear as that is what that FM project refers to.
Can I just clarify, because I just so that everyone's clear, there's the Tri-Rail Coastal Link that runs on the FEC. So there's like additional stations on Tri-Rail on the FEC. There's the Tri-Rail extension, which is from Mangonia Park to the VA, which is separate. And then what you're saying is just Tri-Rail Coastal Link for a portion of the county from what is it that what you're referring to in terms of Tri-Rail Coastal Link only in Northern Palm Beach County?
Alex needs his microphone on or something. We can't hear him.
Sorry, I apologize. So what started this discussion is this specific project that is FM number that deals with the extension of Tri-Rail from West Palm Beach to Northern Palm Beach County. I'm perfectly fine. I do not see here the reference to the VA extension project. If that is to be included as part of this, I think it makes sense. I just did not see an FM number associated with that, but I personally would be okay with including both extensions of Tri-Rail into the conversation. Because right now the main issue, my understanding is, again, the easement for that extension to the north. That would be the next phase of Tri-Rail on the FEC tracks. So let's do first things first, and that is not even moving right now. So
you're really just looking for the word northern to be added in front of extension, because the specific number does the rest.
John, if you can turn your microphone on, thank you.
I think the semantics of it is the project FM number refers to the extension of Tri-Rail, which is a regional extension, the regional rail. And not so much the extension of the Coastal Link, which the Coastal Link covers the whole limit. Is that how you see it, Alex? Yeah. So if you're going to say the northern extension of Tri-Rail, take out Coastal Link. And then if you want to add in the other projects, you could say and Tri-Rail Coastal Link and the extension to VA, you know.
Matching the actual description of the project number. So, which is the Tri-Rail extension, northern extension, right? Connor, you have it pulled up, the actual, the language that matches that description.
Would you like us to match the exact description?
If the motion's referring to that project number in specific, then to avoid confusion, then I would match the project number description. But that's up to the committee with the motion that they'd like to make.
Well, Christopher, it's your motion. How would you like to?
So, Chris, to be clear, in the TIP, The project is titled Tri-Rail Extension from West Palm Beach to Jupiter, and that's for the FM number shown on the screen.
Okay, and that excludes the coastal portion of it?
It's only the northern part that Margie mentioned. So it's basically Tri-Rail would cross over onto the FEC tracks and run, it's the local service from West Palm Beach to Jupiter on those tracks. That does not include the southern coastal links proposed stations.
I'm sorry, just for clarification, there's no set coastal link project on the TIP that we're looking
at. Yeah, there's plans, but not cost us.
So that's why again is that a specific section, because that is the one that is referred or referenced mm-hmm. in this document that we have been discussing.
I'm good with how it's written right now.
Okay, Michael, do you accept as a second?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. So everyone's clear of the motion on the floor?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm going to do a roll call vote. Please state yes or no when I call your name. Jim Bell?
Yes.
Naresh, and I will get your last name, I promise. It's on.
No.
Amanda Radigan?
Yes.
Richard Pereira is absent. Kenny Wilson?
Yes.
Chang Jen Lan?
Yes.
Roberto Treviso?
Yes.
Jamie Brown?
Yes.
Michael Morrow?
Yes.
Aramis Cabrera?
Yes.
Will Hicks?
Yes.
Jorge Perez?
No.
Anna Bielowska?
Yes.
Aaron Hoffman?
Yes.
Terrence Bailey?
No.
Christopher Marsh?
Yes.
I don't believe Joyce Kai joined our meeting, so she'll be marked as absent. Vicki Gatanis?
Yes.
Thomas Lanahan?
Yes.
Michael O'Dell?
Yes.
Alex Hansen?
I guess yes.
Valerio Auricchio?
The crowd, yes.
I'm sorry, I get it, you guys. I promise I have to say it more and more. Moda Samal Turk?
No.
Kara Ferris?
Yes. Motion passes.
It passes 18-4.
Okay, you brought the conversation up. That was good.
So, do we technically have to take up my motion?
No, you're just substitute your motion, so your motion is no longer valid.
Okay. Next are administrative items. Items 4A and 4B are informational only. There will be no staff presentation unless requested by a committee member. Staff, are there any public comments on these items?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay. Our next TAC meeting is scheduled for June 1st, 2022. At this time, our committee meeting is adjourned. Thank you.